I would like to caveat it by saying the last thing I was going to be was a professional writer. I said, no way. There's so many of those at home. And I'm like, that life is too hard. I don't want it. But here we are.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And Karen, as usual, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mane & Tail, Karen.
Only the best.
Only the best. We love Mane & Tail. You know, we always talk about all the different horse products that Mane & Tail puts out, but you know what? They do have a full line of beauty products for you and me, Karen.
They sure do.
So, do you have a favorite product that you'd like to use for Mane & Tail?
I think I would have to say it's the hair strengthener.
The hair strengthener. I've definitely seen that on your beauty counter.
I love using it. I tell you what, it really has strengthened my hair. I have less split ends, and it's actually, I get a little thin in certain areas, and it's actually been growing.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I always love your hair, but I know you've always had, I know you've always complained about, you know, your hair being a little thin, and you're always picking at your split ends and all that stuff. So, and I see you using this, and I do see an improvement. So let's hear all about it, Karen.
So it is a daily protective and fortifying leave-in treatment for stronger, healthier hair. It nourishes and repairs. It provides essential protection to help prevent split ends. Protects hair strands from heat and chemical styling, which I do a lot. I do a lot of that. Provides additional moisturizing and conditioning protection. It is alcohol free, and it's safe and gentle for all hair types.
That's wonderful. So, like I say, I know you've been using it and you love it. And we asked the folks over at Mane & Tail, hey, can we talk about the beauty products, because they are so fantastic. So, because the audience, the horses aren't listening, Karen.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? It's the people. So I use the products, you use the products. So we're going to start, you know, mixing in some of the beauty products along with the horse care line. So check it out at maneandtail.com if you want to learn more about the products. And we just got to say thanks again to Mane & Tail for all their support over the years. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown. Big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there.
Mm-hmm.
Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
TripleCrownFeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show. Trish Scott has got us covered, and she can cover you too. She took care of our horse, off-the-track thoroughbred Mercury, ridden by our son Joe. Trish is with us to talk a little bit about equine insurance. Trish, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ralph. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. You increased our horse's value. Can you tell us a little bit about why we had to increase his value?
Well, the biggest thing is that you bought him a year ago. Joe's been working with him directly, taking him to all these shows, exposing him, training him, the monthly fees, the daily work. So all that training that he's done, all the showing that he's done, how where he's placed, I was able to approach several different carriers. Praetorian is where he is right now. And just by showing them his records, his training fees, I was able to substantially really increase Mercury's value, because that's a whole year of training and showing under his, you know, that Joe has been doing with him, that you now have insured, you know, under this policy with Praetorian.
Gotcha. So, hey, it's important to make sure that your horse is properly valued when you're insuring them. So, Trish, if people want to talk to you about their insurance for their equine friends, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, just call myself. The best way to reach me is 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen, and we're your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And this week, Robbie, we have a special guest.
Yes.
He is from Ireland, and he's an advanced rider. So welcome to the show, Michael Nolan.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me on here.
Yeah, welcome. Sure. So we love our Irish riders. we've had, I mean, Chris Ryan, he's always our favorite. So, but, you know, glad to have you on as well. So, but before we get into everything, where are you coming to us from? We know you're not in Ireland, though.
Not in Ireland anymore. I haven't been living there for 10 years now. It's been a long time, basically. But right now we're in Ocala, Florida, and we're getting ready to pack up and head back to Michigan for the summer.
Oh, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. We're like 20 miles west of Ann Arbor for the summer.
Wow. Why Michigan?
Well, I came out to work with Robin Walker at the start, and that's where he bases himself, and we're still working together now. So we're there, Michigan for the summer.
Wow.
Yeah, very cool.
Goodness. Well, you know, we'll get into all that. I'm kind of curious to see what, like, the eventing scene is like in Michigan. But before we do, we always love to hear your origin story. So can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Sure, I sure can. It's a little bit different than most. I'll like to caveat it by saying the last thing I was going to be was a professional rider. I said, no way. There's so many of those at home. And I'm like, that life is too hard. I don't want it. But here we are. My mother fox hunted for like 20 years, basically her whole life growing up. So there was always horses around. She would even be fox hunting when we were younger still. So, you know, we would go with my dad and follow the hunt sometimes. And so there's four kids. I'm the oldest. And we all had to learn to ride. That was the part my mother wouldn't. That was the way it had to be. We all had to learn to ride. You didn't have to keep it up, but you had to learn. So we went to like a local riding school down the road, and, you know, we always had our ponies, whatever, and she'd take us down for lessons as much as we would go. She loves horses probably more than me, which is good. It was, you know, helpful growing up. I did a lot of riding school stuff and then went, you know, pony club. That was where I first probably started eventing, but definitely not seriously. You know, it was about the jumping. We were just trying to get through the dressage to do some jumping, some cross country, which was always good, but never very serious. Then when I was probably like, 10, 11, 12, we started getting more serious into show jumping and show jump ponies locally around Ireland, like, you know, within like an hour or 2 hours, like, you know, quite seriously. Over there, we have age groups like you ride 12 twos until you're 12, 13 twos until you're 14, and 14 twos until you're 16. So I had all the ponies growing up. Like, you know, the ponies were always around. We had lots of different ones, as many as we would ride. My mother would have there for us. She just loved it. She collects horses. So we got through that. And then when I was 16, I was doing some, met a friend, local guy, who had some race horses. So I started kind of riding out race horses also on the weekends. That was kind of how I made money when I was younger. So I did some of that. So I always had the race horses on the side. And after I finished the ponies when I was 16, I didn't have any like competitive horses. So I kind of, you know, put that aside basically for a while. And I was finished high school and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Obviously not professionally ride, like I said. I was like, oh, maybe I'll do some like, you know, equine dentistry or something like that. That maybe is a road. You know, I can have some horses on the side and show jump whenever I want. And, you know, that'd be a good time. And of course, I went to an agricultural college straight out of high school called Kildalton College in Ireland. And they have a course there that you do. It's like 2 years long. It's called what we call in Ireland your green cert. It allows you to inherit the farm, the family farm, like with some tax incentives. They basically teach you how to farm environmentally friendly and properly. So then you get some tax breaks when you inherit the farm, which I was supposed to do from my dad because, you know, oldest son and all that, except I chose to run off to America. So I was there and there were some guys, some show jumper guys there, and you know, they would come back every weekend to college and after every weekend and be like, oh, we went to this show and we jumped this and it was great and all this. I'm like, God, I really want to get back into this. So I did. And I started doing some, you know, show jumping again. And it was just show jumping locally when a lady, Suzanne McGuire is her name, at Tom Gar Sport Horses in Ireland. She had some eventers and she just was like, would you mind show jumping some eventers for me when they're not with the full-time event trainer? You know, just to keep them going. Basically, they do something when they're not with a full-time trainer. And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, I'll do that. And so I did that for probably like a year while going to college. I'd, you know, drive home to weekends, go to shows with horses, all the rest of it. And then before I was finished college, like 6 months before we were done, she's like, would you take a full-time job? And I was like, sure. She's like, but you're going to have to learn how to event. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's what we're going to do now. So I did my first event, like first recognized event that wasn't like Pony Club in June 2013, right after I finished college. And well, it was quite something. I had three horses there for her, one experienced horse and two green ones. And my first event was a prelim and two trainings. So that was a, it was different for me. And she sent me out and she's like, my first cross country was prelim. And I was like, you know, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, no, don't take a watch. Just go out and, you know, just do it. I was like, okay. So I'm coming from show jumping and I thought I was going so fast.
Oh no.
And I came in like 2 minutes over the time. I was so afterwards. I came back and I was like, man, I just went so fast. And I seen the scores afterwards. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this sport at all. So yeah, that was and then obviously couldn't do the dressage. So that was something I had to learn. So that was June 2013. And then the full-time event rider who had her horses before actually went to Robin the year before. She came out and worked for Robin the winter before I did, basically, and she couldn't go back because her name's Katie O'Sullivan. She actually became the head writer for Richard Shane at Cooley. So she couldn't go back because she had a full-time job with Richard. So she recommended me. So that was how I ended up out here with Robin. So that was the first time. And I did 3 months out here, came back with no intentions of ever staying. And then about midway through the summer, I was like, oh, I wonder if, you know, it's kind of warm out there. It was nice. And called up Robin and wondered if he'd have a full-time job. And he said, okay, let's try work something out. So been here ever since, basically.
Wow. Yeah, very cool.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit different, you know. Definitely not the typical way. I didn't grow up eventing, like, you know, aside from the pony club. But yeah, just kind of all fell into place there. People were just like, oh, will you ride this one? I'm like, yeah, sure. And still riding professionally now after saying I was never going to do it.
There you go.
Now, I'm interested about like the ponies. When you're little, can you explain like that, how that works in Ireland?
Yeah, sure. So like with the, you know, you just have age groups and heights. So like it's basically stop, you know, kids that are too old or too good riding, you know, ponies that they're maybe too big for or too trained for, you know, basically. But yeah, it was fun. So up until 12, you could ride your 12 twos and then you basically aged out. So it works well for like, you know, families kind of situations. Cause like once I was finished with the 12 two, then my sister took it on and, you know, then down the family it went. And then I would get some 13 twos and, you know, train them and then they would go down the thing. But yeah, it was quite something. I did some what we would call A-grade show jumping. So our horses or the ponies are graded A, B, C, D. And I did some A, which would be like, you know, national kind of height. So I did some 120 courses on 13 twos, which was, it was something.
It's a big jump for a small pony.
And at what age was that?
Yeah, it was. Sorry?
What age was that?
I would have been 14 at the time, yeah, okay. Doing that.
Yeah, like I always see like the videos of the Irish pony jumpers and
yeah,
it always makes me feel bad about my own riding because it's just like, man, yeah, like, you know, so these kids are just rocking around.
It's quite something. I did just a little bit of it. I was not like, you know, very good at it or anything. Most of the stuff we did was locally, but yeah, I did have wet my feet a little bit in that and it's quite something. Yeah, on a 13-2, it was quite something. I can't say I wasn't afraid. That's for sure.
if you weren't, there's probably something wrong with you at that point. Right.
Oh, my goodness. Now, and then you did you started working for a race trainer. Now, was it flat or was it steeplechase?
All jumps, yeah. So he's Colin Bowe is the biggest yard I ended up in because I kind of moved around a few places, you know, just locally. But he's like champion point-to-point trainer in Ireland. They have like, we'd have like 60, 70 horses in there, right? And 8 lots a day. And like, you know, every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, do the summers, whatever. And, but yeah, it was quite something. I, you know, wanted to kind of like, maybe that was a thing at one stage. It's like, oh, maybe I'll be a jockey. But then I'm like, you know, seeing what those guys go through as well. I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. And, but yeah, it was an experience to like do all that. And we would do a ton of jump schooling and stuff, like probably half of the 8 lots of it right at the weekend would be schooling. And it definitely teaches you how to run fast and jump. That's for sure. And obviously the laws of averages are against you at that point. So you're going to fall. So you learn to fall there too.
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think you're safer being an event rider than a steeplechase.
No, I think so.
Yeah, but it, you know, it's also really cool because you kind of took a little bit of a unconventional approach and then get into a event where you essentially started, you know, post college, you're doing the jumpers kind of during and everything. So like, you know, first event being a prelim, you know, that's kind of, or at least kind of first event, you know, back into it, it's prelim. But I mean, how did that feel, especially coming from, you know, obviously you're doing the jumpers and, you know, the pony jumpers is meter 20. So, you know, like how did that feel kind of making that transition?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely took some time for me to learn how to, I guess, be a professional at this sport. I mean, now it's a completely different story for me. But back then, I mean, like I said, I had no idea how fast to go. I did, like, you know, no idea how fast prelim was, you know, whereas now it's just inbuilt, right? You've done so many, you know exactly what it takes. You don't need a wash by now. But yeah, it was something to learn. But I mean, the horse was experienced and all I had to do was go jumping around and I was just getting my feet wet. But yeah, I certainly didn't know what I was doing. And that was the reason that I came out here then for the winter to learn how to do dressage, because obviously I had no idea how to do that either coming from the jumpers. It was just like, well, we see jumps.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And I guess that kind of brings us to today a little bit. So you, along with your wife, McKenna, you guys have Nolan Sport Horses.
Yeah.
Take us through a little bit of what you got going on now.
Yeah. So shortly after I came back for my, like, I guess we've been together 8 years now. So shortly after I came back full time, I met McKenna and she used to work for Alex and Ellie O'Neill. And then she shortly came over after we met, she came to work with Robin and that. So we've been working together for a long time doing it all. So we just got married in December. So that was nice out in Arizona, her parents' place. So right now, she's actually working at Will Coleman's this winter, riding and grooming a bit for him, which has been really nice for her to get in there and see how the sausage is made there. It's quite cool. And I've got probably 4 or 5 for Robin, kind of, that, you know, we do basically the same we've been doing. And then after I'm done those, we're kind of moving on, doing some other stuff. So we're doing like a little bit of training. I ride also then for Shannon Baker. I've done like 3 or 4 for her kind of typically every day. And so, yeah, up to like 10 horses a day, you know, training, whatever we can do, basically.
Cool. Wow. So can you, so you're technically still with Robin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But you're also, you and your wife got your own business. So how do you make that work?
Yeah. So basically, like, we kind of have what we have for Robin now, and obviously I can help out and change, but like, I've got those kind of horses and then we're kind of just taking in horses. We can do training. We can do sales. We can do kind of whatever you need, some coaching, anything. We've been doing basically a little bit of everything, alongside what, you know, we have been doing for Robin in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you said you're going to be moving to Michigan.
Yeah, so we've moved back to Michigan.
So why Michigan? Like, what is there?
I'm not sure how Robin ended up there, but he's been there as long as I've known him. So that's where we keep going back to. He's got a lovely farm up there that obviously, you know, where we live and work from and do all our things. And yeah, that's where he's been. It's a lovely area in the summer. It's nice and cool. We, you know, we're close to Ann Arbor. It's nice area.
Yeah. And what's the scene like there? Like, for eventing, if not just horses.
Yeah, I mean, well, we got some, like, obviously Traverse City is 4 hours north of us, and that's, they've kind of turned that into almost Wellington North right now. It's like, it's really nice, really expensive show jumping. We don't frequent, obviously, but we got Revel Run to be our local event. What used to be the old Cobblestone, they have an event there 2 times a year. That's good. And other than that, we're kind of traveling. We're on the road to Kentucky. We're out the East Coast. We're, you know, doing it all. Jersey, Plantation, Morven, anywhere. Okay. Wherever we got to go, we just jump in the truck and go there.
And how long is the drive?
I mean, 10 hours, basically, but okay. To the East Coast. It's not, like, horrific, but, yeah, like 10 hours.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm thinking Michigan's, like, so much further. Like,
no, I think the worst one that we typically do each year is like Millbrook, which is like 12 hours. But
okay.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, that's still not. I mean, for me, it's bad, yeah. But
we're a little spoiled here.
So I did see on your website, I did see that you'd like to do long lining.
Sure. Yeah, that definitely comes from being back in Ireland, and we've broke so many horses over the years. I couldn't even count it. Basically,
yeah. Just, Can you explain that? Because what you say on your website, it helps them develop their fifth leg. So I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, sure. So similar to lunging, obviously over the cross country jumps, but now, you know, I got two ropes. So it's essentially like I have one rope behind them, one on either side. It's like reins. I can basically make them do whatever you want to do, but from the ground, which is helpful. And we get to like, it's helpful to school all across country on the ropes. Like, any arguments they decide they want to have, like if this first time they don't want to go in the water, well, you know, have a rider on, it's helpful. You know, it's much safer, I think. And before you've even ridden them, before breaking them, before ours are even ridden for the first time, they've already done bank, stitch, water, all the fences. And it's easy to kind of pick them up and just, you know, get on, and they're almost ready to go.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, all stuff we learned in Ireland, yeah. And just how things are done there.
And, yeah. And do you source horses from Ireland, or are you?
Yeah, sure we do. So we've helped some people find some. Even we've got Kennel have like three of our own sale horses in when we go back to Michigan alongside her own one star horse. And I'll be working with another lady who lives kind of 30 minutes away from us called Holly Russell. She's helped train her a little bit in the winter too. She's got another barn that, you know, another training barn that Ken and I will both be there doing some things, you know, some coaching, some riding, whatever it takes. But yeah, we do have our own little, we're trying to put together more of a string. It takes time, and one horse at a time, you know, sell one, buy two kind of thing till we get some nice horses in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We know what that's like.
Yeah.
So, and do you take on any students or?
We're kind of available to do whatever is necessary. Really. We've just kind of started to do more of our own thing in the last year and a half alongside Robin. And so we're just growing and one person at a time, one horse at a time, really.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely look for that. Like that's exciting. That's just neat how you're able to work alongside Robin and then still do your own thing. That's really cool able to do that.
He's been massively, you know, helpful with all of that and totally understanding. And it's obviously really hard with the kind of relationships that we have. Like, it's hard to stay together and keep everything going and keep everybody happy. But it seems to be working very well. So
we'll
continue to do it. Yep. And obviously, you know, he's a huge help with all the horses that he's put under me since, I've been here and still does. So it's huge.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
he's definitely a great person to be friends with. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got to work hard if you come here, but you know, come on down. We'll find you something to do.
Yeah. Now, and you do have a couple, advance horses, correct?
Yeah. So we got one that's off injury right now. And then one, he just ran his first two advance, just this winter he did Rocking Horse and just Ocala, and then he'll get ready to do his kind of start his four short career in the fall, you know, do that normal circuit that we would do, you know, Plantation, Morven, all that stuff, and hopefully finish with a four long at Terra Nova.
Okay. And what's his name?
Carabeg Hullabaloo.
It's a fun name.
So yeah, we imported him from Ireland. I've had him since he was 3 year old. Obviously Robin imported him and we sold him into some ownership once we kind of knew how talented he might be, and he's been kind of good ever since.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Definitely look out for that one.
Yeah, so he got all the long lining you were talking about, and he had all that stuff done. We were lucky enough we were able to break him. I like to break him myself if I can. It's helpful. You kind of get the right base on him that you want, and they're kind of ready to kick on. So
okay, so when you brought him over as say a 30-year-old, they're unbroke.
Yeah. Yeah, he was unbroke, yeah.
Wow.
And how old is he now?
He's 9 this year.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, okay, you brought him over 3-year-old, you broke him, and then did he do the Young Event Horse program, or did he?
We typically bring him over, and they have kind of quiet 4-year-old years just to give themselves time to develop and, you know, grow into themselves. And so he probably didn't start his career until he was like 5 or so.
Okay. Wow. And he still progressed pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
For sure.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely a special horse. So
I mean, I guess that makes sense. It gives them some time to kind of actually be a horse and mature mentally a little bit before getting them stuck in like such a regiment.
Yeah, it's just we like to just let them grow up, just have a nice 4-year-old year if we can. But obviously, that's dependent on having fantastic owners that understand that sometimes needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure. Now, is that typical for in Ireland to let a horse kind of mature a little bit longer, or?
It depends. It's so either way. Sometimes it can be a little bit forced because sales is top of mind in Ireland typically, whereas that's one of the nicest things about being able to be over here with Robin and have some owners is you can make decisions like that and be like, oh, we don't have to rush this because we have this fantastic owner that says it's okay, do whatever the horse needs. Whereas sometimes sales are top of mind, front of mind in Ireland, which makes things a little bit more difficult sometimes.
Right. Yeah. We'll definitely be looking for you when you come in our area again. Well,
we will be out for sure. We'll be there.
Awesome. All right. So, Michael, we're going to play quick fire questions. And quick fire questions brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Use MLE10 at checkout and save 10% by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So it's just 5 questions. One is going to take you a little bit longer, so you don't have to be quick, but sure. But one's going to take you a little longer. All right. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Favorite rider growing up?
So I come from the show jumping background, so it's not an eventer. I love to watch Marcus Enning ride. We grew up going to Dublin Horse Show in the summer, almost every summer. My parents would take us up. We'd go watch the Nations Cup, all that stuff, the 5-star Grand Prix on Sunday. He was always there, always with a great horse, and, you know, always riding fantastic. So he would have been what I wanted to achieve. I'm not sure I ever did it, but...
Awesome. All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
I do not really. Riding so many horses, those kind of things get forgotten pretty quickly. One thing I do try to do a lot, walking around the start box or whatever, would be very much like I really try to visualize the course and what I'm going to do where and, you know, how I'm going to ride this combination. This is kind of how I need to get in, you know, the line I need to take. So that's mostly what would be going on when you see me walking around the start box.
All right. So you're focused. So leave you alone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm good to chat. I can talk. The bigger shows for sure. That's what would be going through my head.
Okay. All right. Favorite event to compete at?
I was thinking about this one. I'm sure I haven't gotten to the ones that will be my favorites, but I had a really nice time at Morven Park last year, and that's been a fun one, obviously, with the house in the background. Makes for some cool pictures and cool courses, and it's got some terrain. It's got some nice places to, you know, I like it there. They got the new rings, everything. We like it. It's fun.
Yeah, that's one show in area too that we have not been to.
Yeah. Oh, right. And I've heard nothing but great things about it. Just so haven't made.
Got to get there.
Haven't made the way over.
Got to get there. Okay. So we're having a little competition with this next question. You're living in the US, so you get to be part of this too.
So, well, thank you.
Been here for a bit.
Yeah. So who is your US Olympic team prediction for eventing?
All right. Well, again, I've been listening, so I put some thought into this. So we have a little bit more information than I think everybody else had. So I'm glad I'm getting on now. Not before now. So I'm putting on Boyd with Commando for sure. Love that horse. I think he might be the most special horse that's here right now. I'm putting Will on regardless of not having Chin Tonic, probably. I'm going to send off the record. I like it. He can do, you know, he's one act and he knows how to do it. We're going to send him anyway. He's on fire. And I'm going to send Liz and Mixmaster C. She looked great in the dressage today at Kentucky. And we'll see. I'm sure she'll be great over the weekend.
Okay. Now, okay, tiebreaker. Who's your alternate?
Yeah, we're going to send Phil for the double clear with Julian. Yeah, we can assume he's not going to be going in before dressage, and we can definitely trust him to jump some big clear rounds when we need him.
Right.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's a good team.
That's a good team. All right. Well, if you're the winner, we'll send you something.
If you're correct.
All right. So final question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Well, that goes back to my last question. I think I'm wanting a go on Commando 3 right now.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think he's got all the right things. And I think he's it. So I'd like to get a go on that one. He's blood. He's careful. He moves. He does it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really impressed with his dressage in Kentucky yesterday. Yep. So, all right. I'm going to throw this out here. We're going to throw another one.
Okay.
It's Kentucky week. Dressage is done. This is Friday night. Dressage is done. We know who's leading right now. Tom McEwen. Did you watch that test?
I missed it. I had to go ride a horse. I did not get to see it.
Oh, watch that replay.
I bet it's good.
It really, really good. But who is your predicted Kentucky 5-star winner?
Ooh.
We're going to see if you're correct. This will come out next Wednesday.
That's a real hard one. I'm just looking at the leaderboard right now and see if I can figure it out.
They're all close. I feel like this is like a very compacted 5-star this year in Kentucky.
Sure. And it's a bit of a different 5-star because a lot of the top horses are in the 4 shorts. So exactly. It's a little bit different than previous years. I mean, it's hard to say Tom McEwen's going to make a mistake. That's the problem, but that's kind of a boring prediction. That's an old bad eater. I mean, I think Lauren could definitely get close with that. It's got a ton of experience. And
Yeah.
So we'll go with Tom probably because he's not going to make a mistake, but Lauren's going to be close, I think.
Okay. Tom or Lauren?
She's a dark horse.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll see if you're correct.
Yeah, I know. That's a hard question.
I know. Well,
A plus.
There you go.
Yeah, very good.
There you go. Yeah, that. I had Kentucky on. I'm at work during the day, and I have it on. Everyone left me alone. I'm like, I'm watching this, but it was some good competition, especially today, and yeah. I think they said. So Sharon and Liz are tied for third right now.
It's Lauren and Liz.
Lauren and Liz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And between them all the way to, I think, 12th place, it's only by 3 points. Like,
yeah, it's not a lot for sure. Yeah. It's
crazy.
Yeah. If you throw in me and Philip at 13, I think it's just 3.1.
Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So, all right. So we're going to see if you're correct. So you can't go wrong with the other one. I mean, really,
I mean, it's hard. Tom, I think is, he's the guy to beat. I feel like at the moment anyway, just worldwide and he's not going to make a mistake.
Definitely.
So
we'll see.
Yeah. What he says right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Big talk on Friday evening.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. So, Michael, what advice would you give to a young rider looking to make it in this sport?
Yeah. So obviously it's quite a sport. It's not easy, but I think the key to remember is just try to, stay as level as you can in your mind. There will be good days, bad days. And just always remember you're only one horse away from anywhere you want to be. And you just got to find a way to keep going and find a way to get that horse. Mm-hmm. However you got to do it, but you're only one horse away. It's, one horse away from the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. It's so true. It's just, and finding that right horse and keeping it sound and,
program. And,
yeah. The right program. Well,
don't say things like that. You're only one horse away. Okay.
One horse away. I know. But you're true. Yeah. Very true. Oh, goodness. All right. So Michael, we're going to start winding things down, but, and we love to always recognize any sponsors or supporters you have. So who do you have behind you?
Sure. So, I mean, the biggest people we got obviously is McKenna and I, both our families are huge supporters. My mother breeds some horses. She sends us over some, we got one over right now. It's, sale horse, and Kenna's parents have, got us some horses as well, which is super helpful. Obviously, Robin and Kara, Robin's wife, for everything they've done for us, which is a hell of a lot, giving us the place and all the coaching and the place to do what we need to do. And all that. Some of our owners that, you know, back us, Bob and Sue Martin, Roger and Kay Schramm, and John and Claire Brandt, they've all got horses for me right now that obviously without those, we couldn't do the whole job. You know, it takes a team, and they're some of the best supporters you could ask for. Yeah. And we just signed with Forestier this year. And so we've got some of their saddles and some of their tack, and it's really good. And hopefully we'll get some more stuff cooking in the summer.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Definitely family and your owners. And like you said, Robin, like, definitely your number one sponsors right there.
Yeah. Huge for, you know, what they having us here, allowing us to, you know, do more than just for them too, which is huge. And that's, you know, obviously one of the harder things in this industry to do is to, you know, to work alongside someone and keep the relationship good. So yeah, we're working on it and it seems to be working. So we're happy to keep going.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
Awesome. And, you know, Michael, if people want to follow along with your journey, you know, how do they do that?
Yeah, so we got the social media, Nolan Sport Horses everywhere, really trying to keep it going. It's hard work, but trying to keep it updated. And we have a website as well, nolansporthorses.com. And everything's good. Try to keep it going. Love the follows and keep up with what we're doing.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. Sure. Awesome. Well, Michael, it was so nice getting to know you, and best of luck with everything.
Perfect. Well, we'd be happy to come back on again and sometime and catch up.
Love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.